surely you must realize that Hezekiah is the very person who destroys all the Lord's shrines and altars. He commanded Judah and Jerusalem to worship at only the one altar at the temple and to make sacrifice on it alone. Now, right there, does that sound like Hezekiah's doing the right thing? All these other gods out there, he wiped them out, didn't he? He destroyed all the mosques in the country. He ain't going to have them. He destroyed everything that wasn't a living, believing church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just destroyed them. Is that what he did? Sure. He got rid of them. That sounds like a good place to start, technically speaking. So let's go keep going here, 13 and 14. Surely you must realize what I and the other kings of Assyria before me have done to all the people of the earth. Were any of the gods of those nations able to rescue their people from my power? Now, where did we learn his power came from a while ago? Come from God. God was the one doing this, but he wasn't giving him no glory either, was he? And since King Sennacherib was not giving God any glory, what happened to his soldiers? They all got killed by one angel, and when he went back home to his own place, his own sons run him through with a sword and killed him, right? So see, name just one time when any God anywhere was able to rescue his people from me. What makes you think your God can do any better? Now this guy is blaspheming God. Ooh, verse 15 and 16. Don't let Hezekiah fool you. Don't let him deceive you like this. I say it again. No God of any nation has ever yet been able to rescue his people from me or my ancestors. How much less will your God rescue you from my power? And Sennacherib's officials further mocked the Lord God and his servant Hezekiah, heaping insult upon insult. 17 and 18. The king also sent these letters scorning the Lord, of the God of Israel. He wrote, just as the gods of all the other nations failed to rescue their people from my power, so the God of Hezekiah will also fail. The Assyrian officials who brought the letters shouted this in the Hebrew language to the people gathered on the walls of the city, trying to terrify them so it would be easier to capture the city. Still going on today, these officials talked about the God of Israel, God of Jerusalem, as though he were one of the pagan gods made by human hands. Then King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to God in heaven. First thing they'd done right. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed the Assyrian army with all its commanders and officers. So Sennacherib returned home in disgrace to his own land. When he entered the temple of his God, some of his own sons killed him there with a sword. Now, does this agree with what we read a while ago? Same story, just a little bit different. That is how the Lord rescued Hezekiah. That is how the Lord rescued Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from King Sennacherib of Assyria and from all the others who threatened them, so there was peace at last throughout the land. Okay, so great. Okay, verse 23 and 24. And from then on, King Hezekiah became highly respected among the surrounding nations. Highly respected. And many gifts for the Lord arrived at Jerusalem with valuable presents for King Hezekiah too. All kinds of things come in here. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. Wait a minute. From then on, King Hezekiah became highly respected. You know how easy it is to step over in pride whenever everybody comes in and says, oh, you've done a great work. You've saved our nation. You're the best president we ever had. Oh, yeah, ain't I something? Is men like that? Yes, we are. And it's sad. From then on, King Hezekiah became highly respected among the surrounding nations, and many gifts for the Lord arrived at Jerusalem with valuable presents for King Hezekiah too. And about that time, about the time of all the gifts, Hezekiah became deathly ill. He prayed to the Lord who healed him and gave him a miraculous sign. Let's go on to verse 25 and 26. But Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him, and he became proud. So the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and Jerusalem. Now, since the king didn't respond properly to all this, what happened to God? He got angry. Why do you think Hezekiah got sick unto death? Because pride. Somebody said, well, you know, it was just his time to go. No, it was not his time to go. This is what made him sick. This is what killed him. This pride thing is still killing lots of God's men today. If you won't humble yourself before God, I mean, I'll pick on Jack. I know he don't mind it, you know, because Jack come to me as a Baptist. He come to me sick and afflicted with a back pain, which he shared with me had been bothering him for years. But in the last few months, it had really been bad. And when I shared with Jack, a Southern Baptist, you got a sin in your life. He didn't jump back and say, I do not. Like I had some of them tell me that. He said, okay, Thurman, if I got a sin, I need to get rid of it. I said, well, Jack, you know your life better than I do, but you know you're a man of God, and you know what God says, and you know what he doesn't. Because if you've been a Baptist, I know you've studied the Word all these years. So I said, all you got to do is humble yourself before God and say, Lord, I have sinned, and I want to stop sinning, and I want to walk holy in your presence. And he did that right there. I said, now I lay my back hand on your back, and I said, Lord, you've healed. Heal him now in the name of Jesus. And before Jack got to his car, he was healed, and that's been a year ago, and he hadn't had a back pain since. I don't guess, have you, Jack?
Amen.
But you haven't sinned no more either, have you?
Right.
Hey, he stopped it. He said, I know things God don't like now, and I have done some of those things. Now, who in the world knows that God doesn't like some things that we think, well, he won't mind if I do this little thing? He understands. I'm living under grace. No, he doesn't understand, does he? No. He'll put that sickness on you, and he'll make you sick and afflict you, just like he did this king. It says, Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him, and he became proud. You think God, you ever read in the scripture where it says God hates pride?
Yes.
How many men do you know today, especially men, guys, I'm really on us today, guys that get hung up on this proud pride thing, and I'm somebody. Well, you can be somebody if you want to, but you may not live very long. Especially if God did something wonderful for you, you know, and then, I mean, I've had people come and say, you know, man, do you see that guy right there? He prayed for me and he healed me. I jump back and say, no, he didn't either. I didn't heal you. Don't you ever say I healed you. You can say, I got to pray a prayer of faith for you, but that's all I did. After that, it was your repentance and it was God that done the rest of it. Because if I start taking the glory for all these healings that God's doing through this ministry and say, whoa, aren't we something out of the living Savior? Ooh, you want to get healed? Just come out here. I got the corner on the market. I said, oh, you think you have, huh? Bam, and I'm gone.
Yeah.
Life's over.
Don't do it.
No, I ain't going there. I love living too much, folks. Yeah. I love doing what I do, and I love giving him all the glory and the praise and honor. Because I know I ain't nothing without him.
Amen.
But you're not either. But with him, there ain't nothing impossible. As long as we give him all the glory. We want to give God all the glory. Now then, let's look at this a little further. So the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and Jerusalem. Now, not only did the king have to pay some consequence here, but the whole country had to pay this consequence. What do you think? Maybe today we may be having some of these problems we got. Because we have some leaders in government that's taking all the credit for everything, and they're not giving God no glory for nothing. When's the last time you heard some guy on television that was in a position of power and say, you know, I prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ last night and he gave me this answer? When's the last time you heard some politician say that? It's been a long time since I've heard a politician even mention the name of Jesus, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Well, if they're ashamed of Jesus, then he's ashamed of them. And he ain't going to do nothing for them. And that may be why we're getting ready to undergo what we're undergoing. You know, as I've said before, Cheryl and I are going out of the country next week
to Europe. We just got one more week at home, and one more week here, and then we go to Europe for about a week. And then we come back for 1 week, and then we go out of the country to Israel for about 8 or 9 days. And if there's going to be war in Iran, Lord, please let it happen before we leave. I do not want it to happen while I'm in Israel. You know, that's too close to the heart of the thing. But if it doesn't happen, I told Cheryl, we can only die one time.
That's right.
And I guess if we die in Jerusalem, somebody, when I get to heaven, they could say, where were you when you come home? I said, oh, I was over touring the Lord's promised land. When I got killed over there with a bomb. Oh, praise the Lord. Wrong confession. But I've come to realize that until He's through with me, there ain't nothing can touch me. You know that? As long as God is happy with me, like I've said many a time, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those guys walked in total faith, didn't they? They walked through the fire, didn't they? And because of their faith, they said, the God we serve is well able, and He will deliver us through that fire. And because of their bold faith, God showed up and walked through that fire with them. But how many of them boys died at a later time?
All of them.
All three of them died somewhere. We don't know when, but we know they died. So, guess what? Everybody's going to die somewhere. But I don't want to die young. You know, I'd much rather die at about, I don't know. Methuselah lived to be, 869 years old or 969 years old. Hey, so man, let's see if we can top him. 1,000 ought to be okay for a starter. But look here, when Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him, and he became proud, so the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah repented of his pride. Now see, it didn't tell us that in the other chapters. But here we see this. Hezekiah repented of his pride, and the people of Jerusalem humbled themselves. Now then, you see, everybody's involved. The king and the people. They all had to humble themselves before God. Because see, if you had just been a member of a country that had built a wall and done all this work to get ready to protect yourself against these oncoming nations, and then one morning you didn't know the king had prayed, and you wake up and look out there and there's 185,000 dead men.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.